Hello from Nadia. Welcome to my radio program, welcome to my podcast called Lunaria for women's health and vitality. Today I'd like to talk about terminology on the words we use for speaking about the woman's body. I thought it's a good point to start with. And often, you know, so in spiritual environments, you speak about the yoni, and you never know what's the yoni exactly. Like, what does it mean? Are we speaking about vagina, vulva, or uterus? So let's create some clarity first amongst the Western medicine words, so the anatomical reference we have from basic knowledge. So vulva is not vagina. You all know that vulva is the outer part and vagina is the inner part. So most of us commonly refer to as the vagina, but it's actually the vulva, the outer part. So it's the external genitalia. Whatever is outside, including labias, the limbs of skin around the vaginal hole, including the Mount Venus on top on the pubic symphysis, including the clitoral opening and yeah, the outer part of the clitoris. So vulva outside. Then clitoris. I mentioned the clitoris. What's the clitoris? There is a beautiful picture of a clitoris on the network, a yellow spongy creature. It's interesting to watch that and to see if we have a sense of the fact that we have a body between the vulva and the vagina, which is partially internally and partially externally in the body. The external part is very tiny, is very small, but it has 8,000 nerve endings. That means the capacity to perceive, tactile perception, and pleasure is very high. So it is actually the double the amount of the male equivalent on the head of the penis, 8,000 nerve endings on the clitoris. So, and yeah, whereas the penis has difference in several functions, that is urination, ejaculation, penetration, and sensation, our clitoris is only meant for pleasure, for sexual stimulation and arousal. So it's mainly pleasure organ, we could say. So we have an internal part, which is quite broad, and it's embracing several different parts of the internal body, including valves that release fluids and the vaginal canal itself. So vaginal canal, it's a canal. So it's a river of energy, a river of many things. But before going into the vaginal canal, there's other parts to mention. And we have labia that can be symmetrical or asymmetrical, usually asymmetrical. So we have literally lips around the vaginal opening. And the Latin for labia, the meaning of labia in Latin is literally lip. So we have labia majora, the outer labia, and labia minora, the inner labia. Because of the position of the labia around the vaginal opening, they kind of protect the opening, and they are covered in a membrane of cells that is also the same one that is in every opening of our body. So nostrils, mouth, ears, eyes, anus, and urethra. And this is a membrane that prevents pathogens to come into the body. So labias have a very, very important role, which is the role of protection. And I would say also, again, being highly innervated and sensitive, the role of pleasure. Then before entering the vaginal canal, vaginal opening, I think it's important to mention the vulval vestibule, which is not very known, not very, very common. No one speaks about the greater vestibular glands. So the vulval vestibule is a bunch of valves, of glands, that have the role to eject vaginal fluids and to keep our vagina moistured and able to release fluids and able to ejaculate also. So we'll come back to this point in the future because this deserves a full session by itself. Vaginal opening. Yes, there we go. We enter our vagina. We have an opening which varies according to our age, according to, yeah, however we are. There's as many vaginal openings as many women in the world. And it's a complex territory. So I think you have heard of the hymen being, you know, that entity that's often mentioned when we speak about virginity, that thing that you apparently lose when you have sex the first time. I don't really agree with this way of speaking about a woman's body, virginity, not virginity. It's not my cup of tea, actually. But it's true that there's a membrane all around the vaginal opening, at the opening. And this is really personal. It can be very, very large, very, very small, for many, many reasons, for the kind of movement we have, for the development we have in the growth process. If we had some accidents, if we were doing horse riding or any other things, it varies. So I wouldn't speak about hymen and vaginal opening as a treasured prize for your husband, but more for the need for knowing how am I made of? What am I made of? What's my anatomy? What's down there? I want to know all my body parts, included the pelvic area. And there we go, finally meeting our vagina. Oh, again, vulva is the external genitalia. Vagina is the internal part together with the womb, the uterus. So speaking about the internal genitalia, we speak about vagina. And there's usually an angle of inclination of vagina. So it's not perpendicular to the floor, like an opening directly down. But there is sometimes like a 45 degree angle pointing back towards the back of your pelvis. And in front of your vagina, there's your bladder sitting there. And all the glands I mentioned in the vestibular gland, the Skene's gland in particular. And there we go for this channel, this canal, this gallery, all wrapped into muscles. Again, our vagina is very, very sensitive. And it varies according to the phase of our cycle, according to the phase of our life, and the role it has in our life cycle. So again, birth, postpartum, in case of menstruation, in case of perimenopausal shift, or for many other events of our cyclical life. What regulates the length of our vagina is the cervix. So here I go with the cervix, and I want to speak about the two together. Because the cervix is that organ that unifies or connects your vagina to your womb. Womb is a synonym for uterus. So anytime your cervix changes position, your vagina will be longer or shorter in length, literally, you know, the size of your inner channel. If you live an active cyclical life, meaning menstrual life, you will have a peak of height of your cervix and the peak of height and of length of your vagina during your ovulatory time. Your cervix goes up, all the way up, ready to have a special role in this time to release what's called the cervical fluids that go into the vaginal canal. And this is a fluid that is released just once a month, and it's the indicator for your ovulation. So if you're interested in natural contraception or natural conception, this is an indicator you have to take into account, definitely. So ovulation, cervix rising up. And the opposite polarity, the opposite condition of the cervix going down and the vaginal canal being shorter is, of course, the other pole, the menstrual phase. During your menstrual phase, you'll happen to have a very low cervix because your womb will be full of blood, will be full of swollen endometrium. There will be a lot of water in your organ, in the uterus itself. And this is weight. This is a weight that the cervix has to carry. And it makes her go down lower and reduces the length of your vaginal canal. Check it out. Check it out also, you know, according to the phase of your cycle, the few days before menstruation, as your vaginal canal is shorter, as your cervix is lower, you may experience discomfort during the sexual intercourse or a sense of heaviness being swollen in the belly, in the lower belly. Observe if you can contact this, if you can embody this anatomy. And stepping back into the vagina, one important thing we need to mention is that vagina is so clever, is so incredibly intelligent that she can clean herself by herself with no need of doing, you know, internal douches and washes and weird things. Because of the pH, which is an acidic environment, pH 4.9 to 3.5, and the capacity to produce a special bacteria called Lactobacillus acidophilus that is the same one used to make probiotic supplements and yogurt, curd. So it's that kind of probiotic that helps in maintain the same acidic environment and reduce any chance of invading pathogens. Pathogens meaning whatever is harmful coming from outside, bacteria, viruses, etc. This probiotic supplement we have inside this bacteria, Lactobacillus acidophilus, is the protection we have within, and the reason why we don't need to wash inside. So there is a unique ecosystem of bacteria, of humidity, of darkness, because there is no light. And the fact that this is there, that we have a healthy vaginal microbiome, means that we can contribute to reduce any kind of pelvic inflammatory diseases, any kind of sexually transmitted diseases, any kind of vaginosis or inflammation, and, you know, even worse things like cervical cancer or problems in pregnancy, like ectopic pregnancy, where there's a problem into the womb assessment during the pregnancy, or premature birth for delivery time. So it's important to keep this pH as it is, important to respect this by understanding that this is not a place that wants to be showered or washed by soaps, by harmful cleaning agents. And this is also a place that needs to be respected. And we need to be conscious about what we take in, who we take in, what we want to feel and live and expose our bodies to. Going up, back to the cervix. So cervix and crucial role during ovulation. I'm going to have a specific session on the cervix soon because it's such an important, very much important body part, an organ in particular. Speaking about sexual pleasure and orgasmicness. So this deserves a 20 minutes minimum just for itself. And I would like to finally end up into the uterus, this incredible dynamic organ of ours that can transform, alchemize, cook ingredients of life inside and produce, create. It's an astonishing functions we have inside. So uterus, anatomically speaking, is wrapped into muscles, so there is muscles around, and inside there is different layers of what is called endometrium and perimetrium, all the middle section and the different cells in between these tissues. So when I speak about endometrium and myometrium, etc., I'm speaking about the internal lining of the uterus, so the internal walls. Imagine it to be a pot closed from the top it's closed, but from the bottom is open and connected to the cervix. There is a tiny hole that connects down to the vaginal environment through a little hole that is rhythmically open and closed, but not always open or always closed. So inside we have these linings, these walls, which are quite thick, usually 2.5 centimeters. I guess it's kind of 1 inch, 2 inches. I'm not very much good at inches. I'll speak about centimeters. And the size is more or less the size of your hand, your palm, actually. Kind of 7 to 8 centimeters long and more or less 5 centimeters wide. But it can vary according to your size. Being on top of your cervix, it will also be on top of your bladder, which is, I told you, in front of your vaginal canal, under your uterus. And behind the uterus, we will have our rectum, the final end of your intestine. So it's perfectly sitting between these two. I like to speak about these three organs in the pelvis, so bladder, uterus, and rectum, as the three sisters. And those who practice yoga with me and have the chance to explore the pelvic environment through the practice will notice that these three sisters play an extremely crucial role in any movement we make, in any asana we choose to take, in any breathing pattern or technique we choose to practice. And specifically, they have three holes, three orifices, so the three opening outside, which are very close to each other. So they are both very close to each other internally, bladder, uterus, and rectum, and very close to each other outside in the orifices, the sphincters, so the openings and the pelvic floor. And by guiding the functions of the sphincters outside, we can address the internal organs and see if there's something to balance also. Going back to the uterus, there's two more things we definitely need to mention. And one is the uterine tubes or oviducts, and ultimately our beautiful ovaries, the source of our seeds where life is created. So as the name suggests, uterine or uterine tubes or oviducts, these tubes, these channel of communication, connect our ovaries to our uteruses. And they have the function of allowing the oocyte, which is literally the egg cell, to be released out of the ovary and be absorbed into the uterine space for potential conception or for being reabsorbed by the endometrium and then released during menstruation. What's interesting here, I think it's mainly the ovary's function on how monthly, according to the hormonal release in estrogen or progesterone, they play a crucial role in our life. So in these two tiny little organs, which are not very, very big, we're speaking about, I don't know, two inches thing. It's a small ball on the right side and a small ball on the left side under the navel. Four fingers on the left, four fingers on the right, you have them. So two little small circles, spheres, having such a big impact in our life, regulating everything, our mental activity, our emotional activity, our capacity to be into action or to be into contemplation, our capacity to give and receive, our capacity to have sex, to be not open to sex, to be able to conceive creative processes and nurture them. Because again, of the cyclical life, on how our own body-mind system is regulated by a cyclical hormonal pattern, a repetitive, constant repetitive rhythm, cyclical seasonal rhythm, that affects our whole life, that is our life, the change. So ovaries change every day. Whatever is inside the ovaries is changing and growing and releasing and decreasing on a daily basis. And I like to speak about how the Chinese traditional medicine describes this area, ovaries and uterus. They don't speak about the uterus as a distinct thing, as a separate thing from the ovaries, but they actually refer to the uterus as the ovarian palace, meaning the space where the energy produced by our ovaries, our egg cells, our seeds are grown up, are cultivated. The energy of life can arrive into their palace and being grown up. This is beautiful. I love this definition. And with this ovarian palace concept, I say hello and goodbye. Welcome to come back next week and listen to me on Tuesday. Thank you very much. Have a beautiful day. Have a beautiful week. Bye-bye.
He cares for me. My baby don't care for cars and races. Baby don't care for. He don't care for high-toned places. Liz Taylor is not his style. And even Liberace smiles.